Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast. Today we're going to be talking about self-judgment, self-criticism, and self-compassion with a special guest, so stay tuned.
Welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom with me, Katie Papo. If you're ready for genuine and lasting freedom from binge eating, emotional eating, or out-of-control food issues, you are in the right place. Subscribe, follow, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode. And I first want to introduce my special guest of today, Susie. Thank you, Susie, for being here with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So Susie and I have worked together. Susie was a client in our program last year and is, I would say, so well-versed in this topic through her own personal experience. And I would say I'm also pretty well versed in this topic from my own personal experience of self-judgment and self-criticism and making the shift of those mindset patterns into really self-compassion. So today we're going to talk about that ultimately. So Susie, I would love if you could kind of just share, for those who don't know you, what has your journey with food been like? Like, when did it start? How did it kind of evolve? What stands out for you to share?
Thank you. I think mine started as a baby. I was a big baby. In those days in England, it was called puppy fat and encouraged. So I think I ate a lot. And then when I was eight, it became a real problem because at the school, there must have been some annual examination and they told my mother she had to put me on a diet. And I grew up really feeling that I was a problem. I was very, very overweight, very clumsy. And it seemed that all the attention was on my weight and my size. And I really grew up feeling that I was fundamentally flawed. There was something wrong with me. And I felt all my mother's distress and her shame about being told that her daughter had a problem. And she was always, I was always going on diets, and then I would, when no one was looking, go and raid the biscuit tin. And I had no understanding why. I was just very unhappy because I liked the healthy food. I like salads and things. But it also really made me feel different from everyone because at school I couldn't have the puddings, and there was a real feeling of something wrong with me, and that really became my identity. Unfortunately, it got really, really reinforced in lots and lots of ways. Later on, I did join the English equivalent of Weight Watchers. I was the champion slimmer, would, you know, get the awards and lose all this weight and then put it back on again. And I tried that a couple of times. I realized that dieting wasn't working. At one point I was very ill and I was under a very radical naturopath who probably saved my life, but he gave me a very strict regime of what I could and couldn't eat. I did lots of juicing and juice fasting and things. And part of me liked that because I like regimes. I like the control of, you know, all the diet history about eat this, don't eat this. And almost like, oh, I can't eat that. Almost boasting about it. But it was so joyless, and it actually made me a complete pain to live with. And also, you know, going out for meals was just really complicated. And I just felt very different from everybody else. And food was just torture, I think, rather than joyful. And, you know, meeting people every now and then who loved food and were comfortable with food, it just felt like they were on a different planet from me.
It sounds like, and I feel like so many people are going to hear that and be like, wow, that I relate to so much of that story. And it, what the first thing that I thought of when you shared that was all that, you know, self-judgment and self-criticism didn't start from you, right? A lot of times we think of that self-judgment comes from self, which it does, but maybe not originally. Like, you were hearing from such a young age that there was something wrong with you. And then as babies, right, as children, we don't have a filter. We accept especially what our parents and our authority figures say as truth. And then we adopt it as our own belief. and then grow up having these beliefs about ourselves, but they weren't even our beliefs to begin with. We just took them because we didn't know better. And I also wanted to acknowledge one thing that you said about the, how as soon as you were put on those diets, the all of that restriction created the urge, right, to binge. And this is the pattern that I also see, and you've seen also, just like working with us and seeing other people like in your group deal with the exact same thing. And this is such a common pattern, that we think that the diet is going to be the thing that helps us get the body we want, and instead it takes us further and further away. And I'm curious for you, now that we've worked together and you've dealt with these things, I would say, and you've also, I would say, not just that we've worked together, but you do a lot of inner work.
Mm-hmm.
You're naturally inclined to that, to self-improvement and spiritual growth. And I was curious for you, with all of this work, what has kind of stood out to you in your food freedom journey, like as some of the practices or principles that you remind yourself of as you're like going through your healing and going through your recovery?
The number one, there were two things. One was the very solid breathing practices. I'd done yoga, I'd worked with breath, with sound, but I didn't seem to know how to get from my rather typical flight and fight energy into the places that I had experienced. There seemed to be no meeting ground. And the eating meditations gave me a focus. They really, really also showed me how I wanted to, initially, when I wanted to eat the food, my attitude was, I just want to get it over with. And it was really radical to know, just slow your breathing down and eat calmly and put your knife and fork down. And I remember in the early days, noticing that I would take my fork out of my mouth as instructed, but I wouldn't put it down, I would hold it. And it took me quite a while to be willing or able to physically put it down, which of course slows you down. And just needing the repetition and the shock really of realizing how convoluted, I don't know if that's the right word, but how weird my habits were that was so habitual before of the practicing of the new. So that made a big difference, and gradually it took a while, but to really be able to feel it more in the body, that I could feel the difference with the breathing. Whereas before, I think I was doing breathe in, breathe out, but I was more a bit stuck in my head. So to actually have the experience, the bodily experience of the difference, and then, wow, I'm really calming down. And then looking at my mind with all its impatience, and sometimes with eating meditation, not really wanting to notice, I was doing 90% of the recording and maybe missing the last bit. And your last bits often included a lot of loving thoughts. So I wasn't giving myself the opportunity to hear those, like, well done for showing up, well done for prioritizing yourself. And I really found in your program the level of encouragement was just what I needed, because my mind would be not doing that for myself. And there was your calm voice saying, well done for showing up, you know, you're being your best friend, and just that reinforcement of loving ideas. And the other thing, I think, in the program, or one thing that really helped me, I reached out to you a lot, and when I did, there was always this shame attached and thinking, oh, you wouldn't want to know, you were busy. And what I was met with was this really non-judgmental support, which would say, you're doing fine, just recommend you use these tools more. I remember at one point you said, you're judging yourself. And it was always told me I was very hard on myself, but I didn't really know what they meant, because it was so insidious, it was so much part of how I was, so I didn't understand what they meant. And somehow when you said, you're judging yourself, something clicked. You know, she said, it's normal, you said, it's normal to judge yourself. And I don't know, somehow I was ready to hear that, and that made a big difference. But it has been, and it's an ongoing journey of learning to be compassionate, and what does compassion mean? And I'm learning it's about accepting where I am right now, whether I like it or not. This is how I am right now, instead of resisting the present moment. You know, this is how it is right now. Things aren't always easy.
Yeah, I think that that's such a, you know, I think there's a lot of resistance that people have to that idea, because there's this notion that if we accept the present moment, that means we're settling, or it means we're not improving. But what I've found is the opposite, is that if we can accept the present moment, that actually gives us the opportunity to meet ourselves where we are. Whereas if we keep following that up with, well, you shouldn't think like this, or you shouldn't be like this, and all the shoulds and shouldn'ts, then we don't actually have a chance to meet ourselves where we are to lift ourselves up. Instead, we just say, well, you should be here already. And if we're not, then what to even do? Then it's just a cycle of judgment. And I found, you know, if judgment, self-judgment or self-criticism really worked, no one would have problems. And I like that you brought up the judging yourself, because especially in maybe like the spiritual healing space, we say, oh, don't judge yourself, and judgment is bad, and all these things. But judgment is natural. It's how the human brain works. And we look, and part of our biology, part of our makeup is where we look for the things that are wrong. We look for the things that could potentially harm us. This is how part of one of the ways we protect ourselves in this world. But where we can get hung up is judging ourselves for judging ourselves. Whereas if we can practice accepting the thoughts and accepting the feelings, now we're in a space where they can actually move through us instead of consume us or paralyze us. And Susie, one of the things that you said about, I mean, some, I might explain it a little because not everybody will, who's new will understand. But when you said like the breathing, and the meditations and how, and the eating meditations and how these are the things that help you. For those who don't know, in our program, we help you train your own mind and your own body. And I do this in a structured way where, like Susie said, you can listen to my voice instead of relying on, you know, all of your old compulsions and to guide you. And you can take your body from that fight or flight place, like Susie said, into that calmer state. And what that does is it lets you observe not just your body and your body signals, but like Susie said, it helps you actually observe your thoughts, but not from a place of out of controlledness. It lets you be more of a witness to the thoughts, a calm witness, where you might see the same thoughts that you've always heard, that you've always saw, but you're coming at them now from a different place as a witness, where you're not necessarily taking those thoughts seriously. And that's why I always say, it's not about that the thoughts are bad. It's when we take them so seriously and indulge them, that can be the takedown. So Susie, I was wondering if you could share in your journey that process and maybe how it looked from, you know, first being totally consumed by the thoughts and believing them and getting to that place where you were more of the witness, and what that process was for you.
I think one of the things that was helpful, Shaha, your partner, said about, and I think you also said about not being attached to the outcome. So my judging mind said, I'm doing this and it's not working, so there's something wrong with me. Downward spiral. And it was more about, no, you're practicing. This is about practice and repetition. Isn't it great that you're showing up to practice? Let go of the expectations of how it should be. And in the early days, I was very freaked out when I, you know, I think when I started the course, unconsciously, I was dealing with it like I have with all the regimes I've been on over the years. This is another program, and if I, you know, do it as well as I can, it will succeed. But it's not just a program, it's a journey. It's a journey of discovery, a journey of learning to love myself and accept myself. And so I think I'm absolutely freaked on my first binge, you know, major binge, you know, I've failed. And I think you said it's quite normal that will happen, and there's, of course, learning in that. And you had wonderful tools for that, which was all about acceptance, And also, you know, that there's learning in this. So it's not wrong. It's just something you've done that can show you how to improve for the future, how that you don't need to go to food in that way. And I love the fact in the program, it was kept saying, don't try and stop old behavior. What you're doing is building new behavior. And I think that was really radical, because I think nearly everything I've done before was always try and stop something. And I was also in OA for a while, and I know you've got a podcast on OA. And there again, you know, there were things that were really positive for me about it, but it didn't help me with the eating. So I thought, oh, I failed, you know. So I just think that your program has been so well thought out, obviously tried and tested. And the more I work with it, and I'm obviously still working with it because it's such wonderful resources, the more I appreciate just how empowering it is. And as you also said, it's 99% practice. You know, you can offer all the wonderful materials. And I've had my resistances and times of not wanting to do it. And then and you again cover that. You talk about any amount that sometimes there's a point where you don't want to do these things, you know. But I've always come back to the program because I just feel the empowerment. And I'm just so, so grateful that I have the courage to connect to you, because I had lots and lots of fear. Like I think you said, a lot of people have said, I thought, oh, it's not going to work for me. I'm actually 70 years of age. I don't know if I'm your oldest person, but that's a lot of years to reinforce the old way. But I was desperate to change. I was just so tired of feeling so much shame and so much an outsider, you know, and now, yeah, I mean, through the program, I can sit and eat a meal with people. I taste the food. There's just so many ways I'm different. Yeah, I mean, I could talk for a long time about the different ways I'm different. I'm a lot calmer generally. I'm a lot more able to deal with challenges than I was. Yeah. So.
Thanks, Susie. And I want to... just there's one thing that you said that, I mean, there are a lot of things that you said that I would love to go back to, but the one that stands out right now is when you said it's like in the beginning, it was about like sticking to a program and you want to do it right. And I feel like a lot of people paralyze themselves that way exactly by, you know, just viewing this as like, this is another program that I must stick to religiously or it'll all fall apart. And I need to just follow this way. I need to follow this approach. And I want, you know, those of you guys listening who are working with us right now, this is a really common thing to want to just do it perfectly and check things off the checklist. And but in reality, like what Susie said, this is an inner journey. And all of the tools and all of the principles that we talk about here on this podcast and all the tools that you receive in our program, there for you to more deeply connect with yourself. And I think that all, you know, and you've had a lot of mentors and teachers, like having all of our best mentors, teachers, guides, they don't say follow me, right? Like they guide us inward to our own wisdom, to our own, like you said, it's empowerment. We become more empowered ourselves, not dependent on yet another thing. And the more we can adopt principles and practices that empower us and help us become more independent and help us become more free, that's really the recipe. Because as long as we're clinging to some, you know, program or rigid set of rules for dear life, you know, that's the, we trust ourselves even less. And I feel like what you've done, Susie, is you've allowed yourself grace as you've gone through this process. And by letting yourself not do it perfectly, like I think, like you said, that first binge that you had, I remember that. And I was glad that happened. Because finally things were falling apart. So you had to, in a way, see it differently or learn from it differently than you had in the past. Like that was like a huge opportunity to really start rewiring the old patterns. Like when we're challenged and we can lean into that challenge differently than we have in the past, now we can start to get some more freedom. So I'm wondering like if you could maybe share some of, you mentioned there were like changes that you've seen in yourself, like that you're calmer. Would you mind sharing some of the changes that you've seen in yourself, whether it's with food or in life, like what stands out to you?
One of the big things for me, I was always found it very hard to trust myself, and would want the reassurance from outside or just couldn't make decisions. And I think my distortions with food really kind of kept me in that old place. And, you know, gradually just learning to trust myself more. And, you know, that's great because then I'm not so pulled around by other people's energy. So that actually is huge for me. I'm much more compassionate to other people. You know, everybody's always doing the best they can. I think in the past, you know, judging myself, and I was much more judgmental about other people. I'm much more willing to take responsibility for my stuff. You know, we can't control other people. The only thing we can do is change our attitude. Because with all the food distortion, it made me, I wasn't very stable on all levels because my head was so obsessed, you know, with the old programming. It's given me a lot more confidence generally that everything is about rewiring, so that when I have other habits, I'm trying to think of an example. Well, you know, in the morning, waking up and looking at Facebook instead of doing the practices that I know will help me be more in touch with me, you know, sort of, it's always a bit tantalizing. And I realize I'm still working through about what's inspiring, what's overwhelming, but I'm much more like to go, what do I need to do for me first? And then look at Facebook, which is much healthier. So I'm not into kind of comparing myself and living other people's lives. I'm actually enjoying more that people share and that there's inspiring stuff. So I guess it's being much more my own person. And I was really worried about getting older. I really, it's quite weird being 70, but now I'm actually embracing it, that I've got all this experience of life and I've had all the courage and I've been through lots of huge challenges and, well, traumas and, you know, and here I am and I'm kind of freer in myself probably than I've ever been, which is absolutely wonderful gift to myself. And that I've had the courage and the persistency to put it in and to do it. And as I said earlier, be really helped by you and your generosity of sharing. Yeah.
Thank you, Susie. I've always found you to be very inspiring because no one, like, this work is not easy. And it takes, you know, to be ready for it. And by ready for it, I mean to be willing to go within and to take ownership. And it's very easy to place blame. We could say, oh, it's the food industry. Oh, it's the diet industry. Like, this is why I am the way I am. It was my parents, right? And some of that is real, right? Because, like, look at you. Like, you had, like, very real experiences from, like, your earliest memories in relation to all this stuff. And you could have gone down that path of saying, oh, well, the reason I'm like this is because of X, Y, and Z, so I'm hopeless. But you're taking ownership and you've shown up consistently to make the changes. And I think that, well, what I've observed about you is the more compassion you've had for yourself, the easier the changes have happened. Mm. Would you agree?
Definitely. And I don't know. I think it's a gradual process because, you know, I suppose the more I was able to slow down and observe my thinking, and then that's not a very nice thing to say to myself or think. Whereas when I was so speedy all the time, I didn't even notice. And one of the part of the process, I think, is grieving. You know, I have to face the grief of how I was. You know, there was a lot of denial as well. You know, it was easy to have it all boxed up and not look at it too much. But as I was changing, having to really realize what I used to do, you know, in part because it was part of the numbing out, was numbing out, you know, all sorts of things. And I mean, for example, that I would, you know, if I went and ate with other people, I'd come home and then go on eating. Now, I realize that's just an old pattern, and it's just a question now of, you know, there's still that instinct, but to remember, I don't actually have to do that, and it's fine if I do. Whereas it was really quite panicky, oh, I'm a bad person, you know, and I've just wasted his money on a meal and all the, you know, and I go back and eating and I'm certainly not hungry. You know, so, okay, that was a pattern that I, for whatever reason, I reinforced. I just have to repeat the newer patterns. So, yeah, it's very much a journey, but it's such a worthwhile journey. And, you know, you're never too late. And I think that's the great thing, because I'm hoping that I've got a lot of years ahead of me, and I want them to be a lot more fun than the a lot of my earlier time. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And yeah, I think that is a big part of it, is like, no matter how old we are, if we are to look at the years ahead that we hopefully have, that we want to be friends with ourselves and have fun and spend the time appreciating ourselves like you appreciate. I think a lot of how you've had this courage and shown up for yourself, and it's so much, I think, easier to live in our own brains when we have that. And I also admire you because as you were going through, you just talked about grieving, like grieving, you know, like how it used to be, or in denial of how it used to be, or not wanting to see it and feel it. And I mean, I personally can say that I used to never cry. Or I would see it as a huge weakness if I did it. And now I cry all the time, not to let things through. If I feel grief and tears come, I let it through. It literally 2 hours ago, that's what happened this morning. Just a little bit, just letting it go. And I know you've had that experience too. And I know that when we can just meet ourselves where we are, like you said in the very beginning, in that present moment, that is where a lot can open up. And now we can actually meet ourselves where we are to do the next best step for ourselves. So I was wondering, Susie, is there anything else that you'd like to share, or maybe a message for anyone who's out there struggling, maybe like Beck, how you were in the beginning? What guidance or what message would you like to put forward?
That you're worth it. For me, it was a lot of money. It was way out of my comfort zones. And I also thought, do I want to spend the rest of my life so miserable with food? And yeah, I just think to say that you're worth it. I really believe that we're all here for a purpose, to kind of shine our light as beautiful individuals. And when my mind was just so consumed with what was wrong with me and the food behavior, there wasn't a lot of space for anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Susie. And I agree. When we own that we're worth it, our decisions start to change. So I invite anybody who's listening, you know, continue to use our resources, check out our programs on my website, katiepapo.com, see what resonates with you. And I invite you to give yourself permission to take the next best step that will help you on your healing journey. So thank you, Susie, for being here and for sharing your story so openly and beautifully. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, follow, or leave a kind review. If you're ready to get down to business and work with me to end your food issues permanently, please reach out or go to katiepapo.com for more info. Be kind to yourself, and I hope to see you for the next episode.